Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This day one, Bears minicamp.
It's Dalton. It's Foles.
Uh-oh, who's that guy coming up on the outside?
Justin Fields.
Damn straight, my friend.
Carlos Nelson, please take it away with the Bears selection.
Well, how exciting is this? With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Oh,
Greenberg.
And there's, by the way, a great article on the Tribune website by Colleen Kane. Carlos Nelson will be forever associated with quarterback Justin Fields.
That's right. When you look back, when the Bears go to the Super Bowl, we'll look through the yearbook and say, how did this all start? It was Carlos Nelson being able to make the pick, not the commissioner, Carlos Nelson. And it will be also Mike Greenberg, who knows Chicago like the back of his hand, knows how important it is, and that quarterback, the reaction. Oh, I can't believe what the Bears did. I can't believe it. They got a quarterback. So that's good. So that's why we're excited. Even on June 2nd, because it's new and it's fresh.
It is.
And I know the conjecture is out there, because I was listening to some radio over the last few days, Cap, and listening to other perspectives on how the people look at the Bears nationally. Cap, people are excited nationally to see what Justin Fields can do. Not even from the Bears standpoint, but just from Justin Fields. After Trevor Lawrence, people look at Justin Fields as like, boy, that's the guy.
Yeah.
The leadership, the ability to go from one conference to the other and be able to flourish. Being the SEC, knowing he should have been the guy for Georgia. That's okay. He goes to Ohio State and raises the bar at Ohio State. Linebacker you. And all of a sudden, he goes to Ohio State and raises the bar for Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. So it's not that, oh, here's this rookie, here's this kid coming in. There's so many people that are rooting for this young man, rooting for Justin Fields, to the point where they're like, Andy Dalton, we know what he can do. Put him in. Because the NFL is about excitement. It's about what's next. It's not about what it was. It's about what's new. That's what the NFL is about. That's why so many people are like, yeah, we got to see Justin Fields day one. We'll see.
Game on. Let's go.
Let's see.
Let them all compete. Let them all see how hard they want to work. And from what we hear, they all have great work ethics. And may the best man win the competition.
Don't take it for granted, Andy Dalton. I know that when you first came in, he says, I wouldn't have come here if I wasn't going to get the starting quarterback job. Okay. So I think something that's got to be on the table, and we talked about this in the IDOT bullpen earlier today, Cap, this is not Trubisky versus Foles.
It is not.
As I told you at the beginning of last season, I said, you know, Trubisky's going to start. Like, they're going to give Trubisky every opportunity to fail in the job. And even with the Atlanta game, we go back there. Even during that time, I was like, Trubisky could get out of this hole, right? Didn't get a chance to. So you put Foles in. Because Foles comes in because he's the ultimate relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. If you put him as a starter, you saw exactly what you saw last year. Confusion on the sidelines, not being able to get the ball down the field, had to be taken off in a cart. All this nonsense, right? So it should be clear cut. Andy Dalton says, I wouldn't have come here unless I could start. But Justin Fields, though, is that hotness. He is the guy that was so good in college, and the arrow's pointing up for him.
Fresh.
But there's Andy Dalton, the seasoned veteran that's seen everything. Now, how do we juxtapose these two things, Trubisky and Foles and Dalton and Fields? How do we look at both things? What do you remember about this over here with Trubisky and Foles?
I didn't believe in either guy. I did, obviously, for a long time on Mitch, and then it was obvious, okay, I was wrong. Whatever. He wasn't good enough, and he's a backup in Buffalo for a reason.
Did Nagy handle that properly?
No. I don't believe he did.
Trubisky and Foles, you think it should have been?
I would have just left Mitch there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We preached the day the trade was made. Nick Foles is not who you all think he is. He's not. everywhere he's gone to have a chance to start, he's failed miserably. He had 1 year under Chip Kelly where he had that crazy touchdown interception ratio. Other than that, not good enough.
But do you understand why people were into Foles?
Yeah, because he wasn't named Mitchell Trubisky.
New. It was fresh.
Correct.
Because we've seen what we saw from Mitch and thought he couldn't move the meter anymore. So that's why they were excited. They were like, they looked at the resume and they said, oh, Super Bowl champion, plug him right in. He saw that didn't work. So now we fast forward to today. Dalton versus Fields. Foles is still on the team, but ultimately it's on Andy Dalton versus Justin Fields. Can the head coach, Matt Nagy, look at this competition fairly and say, you know what, I'm going to judge based on what I see versus what's in my gut?
Will he be honest? Danny asked that question yesterday. Like, he meets the media after minicamp. How'd Justin look? Is he going to go, he was fine. You know, we've got our plan, we're sticking to who's ahead? Again, I'm not getting in. Or is he going to go, oh, I got to be honest with you, Justin was tremendous, awful, whatever the answer is. Will he be honest or evasive?
Danny?
Let me ask you guys this question. So the Bears media schedule today, right? So practice starts at about 11:30. They're going to practice. About 1 o'clock, the head coach is going to meet the media. And like Cap saying, we're wondering if he's going to be honest. At 2 o'clock, the Bears say a select group of players will meet the media. Do you think there is any chance Justin Fields is one of those select players?
If you put Justin Fields in there, then Andy Dalton has to speak too, right?
I would assume so.
A little suspicious if you only have one. Now, if it's Andy Dalton, remember, Dalton was the quarterback first, right?
I think it's going to be very telling because this, like you guys said, this is day one of this, right? So whoever they select to meet the media, we're all going to jump to conclusions. If it's Dalton, we're going to be like, oh, Dalton kicked the bleep out of him at practice today. If it's Fields, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's Fields' job. Maybe they pick neither quarterback, which would be a disservice to us because we want to hear from a quarterback.
We just took care of that for Bears PR because they're listening right now at Lake Forest like, oh, geez. Goldman, get in there.
Yeah, get Eddie.
Because yeah, you don't
want an offensive lineman they can talk to.
Because you don't want to show your hand, right?
Correct.
This is tough. And it really shouldn't be. Here's the thing about Matt Nagy, though. Again, Dalton wasn't promised. He said, I wouldn't come here if I wasn't going to be the starter. Did they say he was going to be QB1, that he was going to be the starter?
They did.
Okay. Now what do you do?
They even tweeted it.
Okay. So how do you go back on that if Fields is just awesome?
Andy, hey, man, you got beat out.
Yeah. I mean, Foles could take it. You know, we went through that last year. Foles right. could take it. It's like, I understand.
But he was never promised to be QB1. But you could come in and battle with Mitch.
Right. Okay. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what the offense looks like with either one of these quarterbacks. The only thing is I've seen enough of Dalton to know what to expect, Cap. I know what to expect there. It's not going to be horrible. But I look at that schedule, and I look at who the Bears have to face. It is an uphill climb. But remember, Tariq Cohen's back. All those plays that went to Patterson, now Cohen's got them. So now it's Montgomery and Cohen. Now it's Allen Robinson.
Damian Williams.
So it's going to be fun to watch. By the way, I heard an interview with Michael Irvin on Levitard, right? And they asked him about the best wide receivers in the NFL. And he said, you know, if I had to have a wide receiver, I would take Allen Robinson. We'll play that tomorrow. He says he's tough. The guy is never a problem, fights through it and tries to get open. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect him to say Allen Robinson. But Allen Robinson, he says, that guy's a dog.
He's a dog.
So from Michael Irvin, that's pretty strong praise. I was thinking he's going to say Julio Jones or some. He said Allen Robinson.
I'm wondering, because they now have about $8 million in cap space, according to Brad Spielberger over at PFF.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have to spend 3 point whatever on the rookie class. And so they'll be a little, just under $5 million in cap space. Do we get surprised where Danny goes, oh, we got breaking news. The Chicago Bears have agreed to a long-term deal with Allen Robinson, which would lower his AAV from $17 million or whatever it is he's getting on the one-year franchise tag. Brings it all the way down, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we've got more cap space than we thought. I'm wondering.
You need that. Who's likely to get signed, Allen Robinson or KB? It's a long-term deal.
Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
I think. 312-332-3776. So excited? Day one?
Excited.
Mini camp? Are you excited out there? 312-332-3776. And are the Packers going to call Aaron Rodgers bluff?
Yes, that'll be interesting to talk about, too. We got to figure that out because that continues to be a story, the Aaron Rodgers story, because it relates to the Bears. It relates to some of us that like to be able to put a wager on or not.
Yes.
We have to see exactly who the quarterback is.
That is correct.
So we got to figure that out. So you're excited, right, about the Bears?
I am.
But here, not just the quarterback spot, Cap. What I want to see this season is an offense that, you know, is good and productive. Can we get an offense that's productive? Is that possible?
I think so.
With Andy Dalton?
I do think so. People's ire that was, everyone took it out on Andy. It wasn't their ire directed at Andy.
No.
It was pre-Justin Fields getting drafted. It was towards management for putting us in the position. They had to go get Andy.
No, I get it. They had to be able to get some kind of corner because they didn't know what they were doing in the draft.
They didn't know Justin Fields was going to be theirs.
No, they were hoping.
Right.
But there was no guarantee. All I know is that you and I spent every Monday, every week last season just disappointed in the offense. I just wasn't getting vertical, wasn't moving up the field. Look, we see good games, man. You and I are watching Sunday Night Football. We're watching games while the Bears are on. We're seeing teams go vertical. And we're going side to side. Sucked. You know, going side to side and not getting to, like, the running game did not kick in until late in the season. He told us in the interview that you and I had with him that the running game is important. Well, we'll see. Or you're lying to us. Because the running game with Montgomery's holding the football and running the football like it was his last. He's like, I better do whatever I can because they're going to take it away from me.
But now that Patterson's out of there,
yeah.
Tariq Cohen is healthy. Damian Williams comes over from the Chiefs. They've upgraded their offensive line. I think they absolutely are going to try and run the football.
Tariq Cohen going to be a factor coming off the injury?
It sounds like he's at 100%, man.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, no matter who the quarterback is, can we get an offense that looks like the upper echelon of the NFL? That's what I want. You don't want your offense down the bottom, and you're not winning games defensively anymore. You're not winning 9-6. Buddy Ryan's dead. You're not doing that anymore, right? How do you get it down the field?
He died.
Don't you look it up there.
312-332-3776. Are the Packers going to call Aaron Rodgers bluff? Next.
Obituary.
Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So Aaron Rodgers has been living his best life in Hawaii with Shailene Woodley, his fiance, and who's the actor he was over there with that got punched in the face?
I don't know.
Danny, who's the actor that was there that's related to Carmen?
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller.
He's a great actor. You ever see Whiplash?
No.
The jazz movie where he plays a drummer? Outstanding.
I think that his magic stuff is really good.
Yeah.
I saw him in Vegas. He was tremendous.
That's Penn and Teller.
Huh?
That's Penn and Teller.
Not the same person?
Not the same person.
Oh.
and Carm's not related. He's got a...
He was at the wedding. I thought he was just like his cousin or something.
It's Carmen's wife, Karen,
is
married to Miles Teller. So
yes.
Carmen's wife is cousins with Miles Teller's wife.
So
he's a cousin by marriage.
Yes. So he's related.
That's not how that works.
Meller doesn't think anyone's related
DNA
to him.
With Jay Cutler.
Unless you're related through blood, Meller doesn't believe you're related.
That's how being related works.
That's correct.
I'm related.
I can call you cousin.
So you're
That's
not
cool,
related cause. To... Does
we could be CeCe Sabathia here and call everyone cuz.
Does your beautiful wife, the Peacock, have a sister? Or a brother.
She has a sister, yes.
So are you related to that sister?
Through marriage.
Through marriage, yes, by
but
name.
But you say yes, you're related.
Not related. That's his sister-in-law.
See, I consider my wife's family my family.
Right.
We're related.
My wife's sisters, Lisa and Veronica, I'm related to.
Yes, yes.
No, they're your family, but you're not related to them.
You are related.
Yes, you are related.
You
they're
have
my
a relationship. Miller, that is where related comes from.
There's no argument. I understand what's going on here. Miller's got an issue with his in-laws.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think there's any question about
correct.
It.
Why don't you like your in-laws, Jeff?
They're my family. I'm just not related to them.
Yeah, I think there's an issue there. It's deep-seated, but we'll hear more about it at 10:30.
Exactly.
But nonetheless.
only got an hour today, though, Hoodie. We're off at 11:30 because of a Sox game.
Baseball.
So. Got to get that in quick.
They'll fill the time.
It's funny. This morning I saw him texting Yerk. Hey, Yerk, short show. You might as well not come in. Carm and I have this.
Jeff Miller featuring Carmen and Yurko comes your way after the crosstalk.
Right, the Jeff Miller show.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. You open up the curtains and here's Jeff Miller with the jazz hands. Hi, everybody, and welcome in. Here's things I held back between 7 and 10.
Wow.
Danny, you got my text message? Does that work or no?
Yeah, I don't think it's breaking news. It's worth a mention, but I don't. Cap came in and asked us
also. Is there a sponsor attached?
Yeah, there is.
Well,
I don't think this is breaking. I mean, we can play it.
It is, man.
This is breaking news. Sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook.
I've heard
on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news here on Cap and J-Hood. Dan.
Thank you, Jonathan. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Danny Ainge is expected to step down as president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, sources tell ESPN. Brad Stevens is expected to assume a more prominent front office role with the team.
We turn now to Jeff Miller for the fantasy ramifications of a new front office person with the Celtics, Jeff.
I need a few minutes to digest this one, Hoodie. Can't wait to give you more on it at about 10:15.
10:15, all right, 10:15.
And
we'll
how about
more.
Brad's not going to coach? That's the amazing thing.
What doesn't say that?
Yeah, Adrian just tweeted it. Brad Stevens will move full-time to the front office, and the Celtics will start a search for a new head coach. Breaking just now after that tweet. How about that?
Now it's really breaking.
So there's breaking news on the breaking news.
On
hit
top
it again.
Of the breaking news.
Hit it again.
Brett's.
This Whoa. Is breaking news. Sponsored Whoa. By the Points Bet Sportsbook. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Look 1000 out. And the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news. Here on Cap and J-Hood, Dan.
Thank you, Jonathan. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Brad Stevens is moving into the front office on a full-time role, and the Celtics are expected to start a search for a new head coach, sources tell ESPN. Celtics staff and coaches have been informed of these changes.
But that?
But you didn't want the Indiana job?
Okay. You don't want to recruit.
Man, no. Front office. Excuse me?
He gets off the road. He doesn't have to be out every freaking day.
Brother, he's a great coach.
He is.
When you say top 10 coach in the league?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you doing? Front office. What are you going to do up there? Push pencils around? You can't be, you want your skin in the game.
He's
right?
got if skin in the game. He wants to help remake that team. They're not good enough.
What, into Butler?
You want Kemba Walker here on the Bulls?
Oh.
Huh?
No.
All right, just asked. I didn't say I did.
No, just we need a point guard for sure. The Bulls definitely need that.
He's hurt. He's a lot of money.
Yeah. What do you mean front office?
It's going to be president.
Get your ass down there.
That's
coach
a pay
the team.
Raise. I think Hoodie's right though. It's weird.
Coach the team. What are you doing? Who got there? Who's going to be better than that for Boston right now? Someone from college?
He's not Phil Jackson. He hasn't won any NBA titles.
Nope.
Like I'm with Hoodie. It's kind of weird.
What?
Like the
what are you doing there? What are you going to do upstairs? What are you going to do?
He's going to remake his roster, and nobody knows it better than him.
But he can't do. He can do that and coach.
You can't do both. You cannot do both.
Could, if the way this is shaping up, is he being like? They want him. Do they want a new voice on that bench? And they're kind of. But they still want him in the organization. Is this like a move where he's being forced into a different position? I'm with Hoodie. This is weird. Brad Stevens is without. It'd be different if they won a title, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
And he had that. But it's weird that he moves from Butler, is highly sought after, can't pass up, you know, this dream job. I remember, you know, when he took it. And now, never having won a title, he's going to move to the front office. It is a little weird.
Screams one thing. Jim Boylan's available.
How about that? Jim Boylan, new head coach.
That's not the news. Don't report that.
Jim Boylan is taking the Celtics job. That is a new. That's amazing.
I am texting some people here. You go ahead.
How about that?
Who are you texting? Larry Bird?
No.
Hell yeah.
No.
Kevin McHale?
No. Hell yeah. Oh, no, not him either. That's something, man.
That is big news.
Have you earned the opportunity to go upstairs if you're Brad Stevens? Have you earned the opportunity?
If your bosses say you have.
I asked you.
No, he has not.
Okay.
Like if, if you told me he took the team at least to the finals, that thing is stuck. It's like in the mud. You're spinning your wheels.
Like, you know, like if he truly, if this was, I feel like he could have a Greg Popovich role where he has more say in the roster. And yes, Cap, you're right. You can't do both. He's not going to be out on the road scouting and coaching, but he could hire his people and have more of a say in roster building if he wanted to, with Danny Ainge now resigning.
He is going to be named the head of basketball ops. It's not like we're going to kick you up, sir. He's running the deal there.
But don't,
that's a $10 million a year job.
What's he making now? It's not like he's making chump change.
No, I'm not saying he is, but like Sam Presti, who the Bulls looked at and then the pandemic hit in Oklahoma City, he's making like $9 or $10 million a year. Yeah, but they're giving Brad Stevens.
NBA head coaches are making lots of money. It's not. Right. It's not like baseball GM versus manager.
He doesn't have to deal with the day to day grind on the road. It's
3.6. He makes 3.6. Yeah. Brad Stevens.
I'll bet you. You think he's making 10? He's going to make the jump to $10 million a year?
Okay. He'll make $6 million a year. President?
No, no. I hear you. I'm just. It's weird because his coaching has been his thing.
Yep.
8 seasons, 354 wins. That's .557 winning percentage. 7 playoff appearances, 3 conference final appearances.
Okay. Crazy.
All right.
Is this a situation, too, where maybe Brad Stevens sees it? Look, if he hung around as the head coach and they continue to... The last couple of years have been disappointing for the Celtics, right? Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, they have been.
Yes.
And so the longer he sticks around and if they continue to be somewhat disappointing where their first or second round exits... Like that, then he's on the hot seat. But now, by moving to the front office, does he get to reset his, you know, his timeline in the organization?
You got it. You got it.
Is that what it is?
You know what? But even further, you got it. But also, you can't. You could fire Brad Stevens, but he'd get a job tomorrow. They're keeping him in the front office, so he's part of the organization, not coaching, but part of the organization. I prefer him coaching, but they didn't want to lose him to another team. Like they can blow Stan out of there now in New Orleans. That's a mess there.
I think Brad truly wants to get off the road. I do. Big family guy. I think it's a grind every single day.
I get it, but he should.
President of basketball. How'd you like to be the president of the team? Yep, got it.
Quite frankly, it's the same. It feels redundant. Now, look at Danny Ainge, all those draft picks and trying to set the fortunes right for Boston. That's fine. It just feels redundant. Like, what's Brad Stevens going to do to move the meter past Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, those teams?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Does he trade a Kemba Walker? Does he move a Jaylen Brown? We're going to find out.
They won't trade Brown or Tatum.
With no experience, by the way, in that spot.
Right?
No experience. I mean... Okay.
But he's got 8 years' experience in the league. And they obviously adore him because Indiana would have written him a blank check.
The only troubled waters for Brad Stevens was when he had to take a deal with Kyrie. Like, he can coach anybody, but when it comes to someone that's a little extra diva or is a little bit more into himself than the team, then Stevens can't handle that. Because with Kyrie, I know it's hard to handle Kyrie anyway, but that was the first warning shot, like, oh, Brad's having a hard time with this. Team wasn't responding well, you know, and as fundamentally sound as the Celtics are, they just don't have the star power. They just don't have it. As much as I like Tatum, I'm a big fan of Brown, they're just a step below Cap.
They are.
So.
And nobody knows the roster better than Brad.
So what does this mean?
He knows its warts.
So what does this mean for the Bulls?
They got competition.
That's pretty much it, right?
Shot or no shot is next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and J-Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. That's why I see shot, no shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
Brought to you by the amazing people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. It is a two-minute process in and out to register your account. Danny.
Gentlemen.
Morning, Danny.
Rock and roll.
Good morning, Hoodrow, and hello, Kaplan.
My guy, Danny.
You guys ready for a little shot or no shot?
Rock and roll.
Morning, Danny.
Hey, Hood. Hey. Welcome back. Good to see
you.
Wow. Thanks, man. Good to see you, buddy.
Sorry, buddy.
My Cubs are good, man. They were 19-8 in May. The team has won 10 of its last 12 games, and they've won six straight series. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot? David Ross is your NL Manager of the Year.
Shot.
No shot.
Well, let's see where this thing goes out. But today, damn right he's getting votes. The who's the manager of the Giants?
The Giants, yes.
Dusty Baker.
Yes, Bruce Bochy.
Not Bruce Bochy. Who's the manager of the
Kepler.
Giants?
Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler. He's in the discussion?
Yes.
As weird as he may be as a human being, he's doing a really good job.
Right now, he wins it. He wins it right now.
I'm not so sure about that.
I am.
Well, after the speech last week, Mike Schilt gets votes for me. After the long time, after exposing Major League Baseball, Schilt is in there.
Yeah, the guy with the Mets.
Rojas.
Cookie Rojas.
It's not Cookie Rojas.
Miguel?
No, it's not. Oh, God.
What's the name of the guy?
That'll be an HR issue. just throwing out Rojas.
Mel Rojas.
I think it's Mel Rojas.
Mel Rojas. No, it's Miguel.
Is it Mel Rojas?
It's Miguel Rojas. Yes.
I mean, the old Cub is on there.
I think it's Mel.
It's not Mel.
Take that.
Anyway, yes, David Ross is in the team photo for Manager of the Year. Shot.
Is that what he asked, or did he ask, would he win? Danny?
I said no shot.
I said he is your NL manager.
Yeah, so not in the photo, Cap, because I agree with you, he's in the photo.
Yeah, I say no shot. Tingler still with an outside chance. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, guys, going back to what we were just talking about last segment, the breaking news from Adrian Wojnarowski, Brad Stevens moving into the front office, Danny Ainge moving on. Here's some more on that, and then I'll get to the shot or no shot. Ainge has been contemplating leaving for several months. He'd been talking about possible succession plans with ownership. Stevens has been described as worn down with coaching since the bubble. He welcomed a chance to make a transition to the front office. He is going to lead the search for his successor at head coach. I ask you, gentlemen, all this is happening, shot or no shot, because the players have tuned Brad Stevens out.
Shot. That's fair. Anytime that, otherwise, why just stay in the job? What would wear you down? You mentioned the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm the Celtics, like, if the road wears you down, what about generally managing? You still got to go out and see players. That won't wear you down either?
It's not the same grind. It's not.
Well, then, if you're not working hard, I don't need you.
No, I'm not talking about that. You'll work hard, but that grind is way less pressure. You're not doing a media session before, coaching the game, media session after, on the plane throughout the night watching tape, get 4 hours of sleep, get up, put the practice plan for walkthrough together, get back home, get a little nap, eat something, get back, media, game, media. Oh, we got a game in 2 days? Get on the plane. We got to go. That's a grind, man. Cap, I'm telling you.
Cappy's 44. Older coaches are doing it in the league. He's 44. If you're out of it at 44, then maybe you shouldn't be part of the organization. Just saying.
Maybe he wants to try something different.
And I don't think that should be his call. I think the Celtics, if you're that tired, go home, Brad.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's tired. I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm just saying.
It's a grind, yes.
It's a grind.
But older coaches are going through it. I think I would say shot that there's some players that have tuned out Brad Stevens. But I don't think the Celtics wanted to let Stevens go. They said, but if we let you go, man, you're going to get a job quickly. With a good team, probably. Because the perception is he's his boy genius. And he does. Look, there's plays in college that he runs.
Mm-hmm.
I see it all the time. There's college plays called the Stevens play or the Brad or the Chin, whatever it is, that he's running that I see in college. So I know he has an influence in the game. I get that. But I mean, if you are that tired, take some time off. Saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's because he's tired. I think it's, I'm going to try something different. Yeah, president of the team, I'm in.
I wonder how much more money that is. Or is it the same money? That'd be interesting to see also.
I think a lot.
But you deserve it. Why? Because why?
That's what the job pays.
No, I mean, like, but you pay it to someone who's done the job. I'd have someone with some experience to pay him that much. That's just me.
Yeah.
Brad only got to a certain level as a head coach. Now he's a talent evaluator? You sure he's good at that? I think he's failing up. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, Draymond Green, he's got a very bright future as an NBA analyst when his playing days are done. He had this to say yesterday about the Brooklyn Nets offense.
It's the best display of offense we'll probably ever see in this league. You know, we're talking about those three guys. But Joe Harris, who leads the league in three-point percentage, I think for the past couple years, or right
two
up.
Two out of the last three.
Then you rotate and you're swinging it to Joe. So that's who you're rotating off of, to Kevin, Kyrie, or James. You got Bruce Brown, who makes a world of a difference for this team, doing all the dirty work. You know, he plays the dunker as if he's a five man. You got Blake, who's had this resurgence, who's dunking the ball, who's all over the court playing the five for them. I think, you know, when you look at this team offensively, you're not going to stop them. You stop one guy, you get the other two going off. And so, and I think their defense will be good enough, because the reality is those other teams have to score as well. And that's not so easy to do. So when you're trying to outscore these guys, and which teams are going to have to do, I can't see it happening.
So, gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, according to Draymond, the Nets have the best offense we'll ever see in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. No shot. First of all, they don't score that much off their defense, and great scoring teams usually can, through their defense, create amazing offense. They have three amazing offensive players. Are they better than Durant, Curry, and Clay?
Well, see, they're two different teams, though, Cap. Tell me if I'm wrong, right? So Golden State was able to do it through a system.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the basketball, you go inside, you kick it out to Curry, kick it out to Thompson, whoever the open man is. That's the system for Golden State. When I watch Brooklyn, I see a lot of individual play. You know, if it's Harden, it's always going to be one-on-one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Him top the key, between the legs. All he's trying to do is get Michael Jordan calls, and that's what he's getting. He gets Jordan calls going to the basket because he's aggressive going to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are aggressive going to the basket is going to get calls. So he is able to do that, either on the three-point stripe or going to the painted area. But when I see Kevin Durant, same thing. It's usually individual play. When I see Kyrie, it's him going to the basket. It's just different with Golden State, man. I always thought there was more of a system than just individual play with Brooklyn. So I would say that what I saw from Golden State with Draymond Green was more efficient for me, because it was in a team element.
Correct.
Than it is just my turn offense, your turn offense. Does that make sense?
No, I completely agree. I get it. I can't sign that they're the best offense I've ever seen. No shot.
Especially, Danny, because we've only seen him for like a dozen games.
Three best one-on-one players? Yes. Durant's a beast.
89 points combined yesterday. It was incredible, and it would suck to be their teammate. I watched all three of their post-game press conference, all three of them. All they did was talk about the three of them. It's like they played 3-on-5. Nobody else existed to those three. It's just them.
If you're Joe Harris, that sucks, because Joe Harris can really knock down the three.
He can really play.
That sucks.
He can play.
Like there's bench guys like Claxton and others, or a couple of others players on that team, and it's kind of like, I'm out here for 19 minutes. I can't get a shot. Blake Griffin is lost in that offense. Lost.
But he made a couple back cuts for dunks where they, whoa. Some of those passes, I'm like, wow, that was a hell of a pass.
I get it. Like, but he knows he's going to have to take a step back, two steps back with that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin, he's got to take it. Like, he can't do what he wants to do. Like, who wouldn't want to have like a Bruce Bowen on their team, and a couple others like Claxton, a number of these
Jeff
guys.
Jeff Green, who's
Jeff
injured,
Green, can't. But they're not getting any burn. TLC, and these guys can't get baskets. It almost is like 3-on-5 in some ways.
Daniel.
Gentlemen, that is all the time we have for today. I'm sorry. I had another really good one, but we'll save that for tomorrow.
Oh, all right. When to fight with a bear. Well. Get to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Tell all your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your kids, the ones that you think you're related to, but you're really not, according to Meller. All of you.
All right.
Get to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You do not want to miss what we're going to try next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Okay. I have no idea what's going on in here.
We're doing a show. Cap and Jay Hood's morning, 7
yeah,
to 10.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yes.
It's not the first time.
But that guy, Danny's never in here.
He's always at his control spot.
Well, he's got something going on here for us.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
I don't either. No. So get to twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. We can all find out together.
Well, I know one thing for sure, that this Sox team's got to turn it around from yesterday losing 6-5 with Dylan Cease. What's between Dylan Cease's ears? That's the whole thing with him. Like, against bad teams, pretty good. Against good teams, not so much. He saw it against the Indians yesterday. He's got to turn it around.
Terrible.
Because you don't need starting pitching when you're trying to get to the deadline. You don't need that. But you got to figure out where Dylan Cease is, you know, by the time we get to September. Like, is he going to be one of your top starters? Will he be at number five? What's going to happen there?
By the way, don't forget, we have White Sox baseball today on the air, 11:30.
Yes.
11:30. Sox and the Cleveland Indians. So yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the same thing with the Cubs, too.
What in the hell is going on here? Okay. JR has walked into the studio.
I don't know if that's JR there, Cap. That doesn't look like JR to me.
It actually looks like David Letterman to me.
Thank you, Cap.
And gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10.
What is going on?
I mean, the same tie, the same shirt and jacket.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were talking earlier about the bear being pushed off the wall by the courageous Haley. So we thought we would make a top 10 list today of the top 10 reasons to scuffle with a bear.
Okay. What?
Hello? Number 10. I got to bring this closer because I can't see a damn thing. Number 10. He broke your jaw with a dumbbell while firing guns at the FBI shooting range.
Wow.
Number Fred 9. Miller. It's refusing to go back in its bear hole. I said bear hole.
Who would ever use a term like that?
Number 8. The bear is wearing green and gold.
Packers suck.
Green Bay sucks.
Number 7. Because he let the band on the field.
Oh, the band is out on the field!
That's phenomenal.
Number 6, he slept with your wife. I said slept with your wife.
Wait a minute.
Wow. Top 10 reasons to scuffle with a bear. Number 5, don't care.
Wait a minute. This is not in the format. Wait a minute.
Number 6, he got his head stuck in your honey jar again.
Ooh. Sounds intriguing. Man.
Number 3, because the bear insulted your intelligence. Number 2, he smoked your last bowl.
Oh, hey, listen, try this. I told my weed guy to step it up, and he gave me that.
Step it up.
There you go. You got it. Nice.
Wait a minute.
Good, huh?
Good job.
Yeah.
Take pride in that.
And the number 1 top 10 reason to scuffle with a bear,
Mike?
He didn't put the unicycle away.
Ah! Good night, everybody.
Nicely done, Dave.
Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, this is not in my format here.
I didn't see that coming.
Did you see this? Is this
Thanks,
in your...
David.
Do you have a different format than me?
I do not.
Wait, it just doesn't work. Dave just came in and just did his top 10.
Hey, he gave up the late show, said I'm going to go work with Cap J. Hood.
He just went. We had a Cubs Sox discussion, and all of a sudden, Letterman walks in. And he starts throwing things at the Twitch camera. Well, I thought he was retired.
That?
The top 10 reasons why you scuffle with a bear.
Love it.
I love that. Just comes in with a cameo. All right.
He looked just like Dave Letterman. I can't believe you were able to afford him.
That's why you have to go on Twitch and watch the show.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. I did not expect that. Again, Danny, this is not in my format from this morning.
Listen,
that,
we wanted to give it a try, kind of like the SpongeBob bit where we interviewed SpongeBob. We wanted to give it a, you know, what do they call that in restaurants? A soft opening.
A soft opening.
If you guys like it, we're going to pencil it in Sharpie every Wednesday at 9:50 if we like it. That was, you know, it's up for feedback. Soft open.
I like soft opening.
Initial feedback is it's better than the SpongeBob segments.
Yes, there's no question about that.
Yes, the interview of SpongeBob, that one will live on in infamy.
Jared was great in that. I mean, I thought it was hilarious.
Didn't see that coming.
No, I did not. It was not in my...
I fully expected like a fully costumed bear coming in here.
No. Well, you kind of did. JR was here. But I was very surprised at that. That's very good. I don't mind that if he comes in again out of nowhere. That's spontaneous.
I enjoyed that.
Usually I'm in on the joke. I'm not even on the joke on this one. The kids hit it from me this time. No idea what's going on.
Right. I had no idea. And I said, do you know? And you had no clue.
It's funny.
All right, good.
Tell us about your trip to Vegas.
Going tomorrow afternoon.
Yep. Are you there now or mentally? Or
no.
Okay.
Absolutely
still here.
Not.
You're still here.
Tomorrow I will be.
Okay. Well, I'm going to need you tomorrow. And by the way, we're staying up watching the late night NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So is Jeff. Jeff, are you watching late night NBA? You've put on the coffee a little bit more.
I've been trying, but, you know. Double overtime games are pushing my limit here, Hoodie.
Ooh.
Yeah, at certain points, I have to say...
Like the Lakers, you could tap out. It was just as LeBron said after the game, we got our ass kicked.
That's fine, but you can't leave.
Agreed.
You know how many athletes that want to leave? Now, of course, there's always this other side of the tracks where you say, here's LeBron James, the ultimate competitor, and he just can't stand to lose, so he's a sore loser. Can sore losers still be good people? Like Michael Jordan is a perfect example, right?
He's a sore loser.
Never walked out, but he's always been a sore loser to the point where he'll gamble with you a million times so he can get even,
correct.
At least even.
Correct.
You know those stories? So is that, can you be someone that's a sore loser and a bad guy?
Or a good guy.
Or a good guy.
Tom Brady.
Well, LeBron.
I've always liked LeBron.
Right.
Didn't respect what he did last night. There were, you know, the flopping is just getting to be ridiculous. He had one where he literally didn't get touched, went down like he'd been shot.
Yeah. Looking for calls.
Yes.
And now even the officials are like, come on, brother. You got to get up.
But if he gets away with it, we praise AJ for what he did. We praise him.
Yes.
Oh, what an astute play.
Right.
LeBron says, I'm doing the same thing. So.
By the way, shout out to AJ Pierzynski and Adam Amin yesterday. You know, they had the alternative broadcast of the Sox. Did you know that was on?
No.
It's on FS1.
Did not know that.
They had the alternative broadcast on.
Was it good?
It's AJ. Yeah, and Adam Amin.
Restaurant quality.
It was really... I watched that broadcast just to find out what AJ thought of the White Sox. It's good. It's very positive.
And I'm
on the
a
White
huge
Sox.
Adam Amin guy.
Yeah.
Huge.
So.
All right, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.